I said the Lord is good. If you're happy and you know, you say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you believe the word of God is the source of life and is activating substance inside you, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. Everybody, can you just say after me? Say, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I please Him in all respects.
I bear fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Says,
I'm strengthened by all power.
And I'm attained to steadfastness. Or let's say, I'm attaining to steadfastness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, as the word of God is coming forth, I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of revelation.
I have the spirit of understanding.
And I gain direction.
I gain knowledge of the will of God for my life.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Declare someone, say, I am not confused.
I am not confused.
I have wisdom.
I have understanding.
And I'm walking in the will of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, soul.
Now you're speaking to your soul.
Say, soul.
Hear the word of God.
Walk according to the will of God.
Because that is your destiny.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
See your life.
You're speaking to soul now.
Say,
soul.
Listen.
Your life
will manifest the reason why you were born.
Just understand this. David says, you know,
bless the Lord, oh my soul. You can learn to talk to your soul. Are you getting my point?
You talk to yourself. That's what we're talking about. You know, you give direction.
Please don't, if in case you have forgotten, or even if you haven't forgotten, go and listen to the series again. The laws of confessions, all right?
Those things, as you declare with your mouth, as you utter the word of God, you are giving direction to the whole of your life. Do you understand that point? It's very important we understand it. All right, the Lord is good.
I said the Lord is good.
All right, let's continue our school of prayer on how to bless your generations, how to bless your children, how to establish a destiny for them. Remember, we said that this is our school of prayer, so what we are doing is teaching the people of God how to pray. I say it again and again. A lot of prayers that Christians say these days, they are not effective. They are not effective. I want to say something funny, all right? It's not very funny. It's actually very annoying. It's pathetic. It's something to cry about. But it sounds funny. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because this is an opportunity, you know. Bible says, what did Paul say again? I'm not regular King James version in a long time, all right? It said, be instant in season and out of season. That they use every, because of my own ministry, I use every opportunity to teach people the word of God. Do you understand? One of our sisters sent me a message yesterday or the day before and said, if I was at night, she said, I know it's late, so you don't have to reply now. Of course, it was so late that I saw it in the morning. I was asleep, all right? And that in their church that Sunday, yes, that was day before yesterday, the pastor had said something like this, and I'm just talking about it as an opportunity or just using the opportunity to correct people again. That when Jesus died on the cross, that his death only redeemed you from the curse of the law. Every other curse, you have to deal with yourself. If I don't have to talk again, the way you reacted, I think you get the point. Let's just go. I like the way you shouted, hmm? Like, what? Did somebody say that? When I heard it, I said, what? Now, I wanted the name of the church, because if I tell the name of the church, you will fall through that chair. When the lady told me the name of the church, I said, wait. I replied, wait, is this church you're talking about? He said, my brother and sister, I said, they have to report that man to the big man at the top. So they should sack him. Now listen to this. Let me just complete the gist a bit so that just to encourage people a bit. That the Bible says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the Lord. That's the only curse he redeemed us from. That every other curse, you have to fight it. I said simply that Paul was applying a broader redemption to a specific matter. Are you getting my point? It's like saying, because I said, as I'm writing, I said, God redeemed you from headache. You now say that, you see, Pastor Banks said, God redeemed you from headache. That means stomachache is still there. You have to use a little wine for that one. You know what I'm trying to say? Forgetting that I was addressing the issue of a headache at that time. So I was applying redemption to headache. And that's what Paul was doing. Because in actual fact, the Bible says that every handwriting that was written against you, everyone, it nailed to the cross. If any man and any woman is in Christ, the person is what? In all things, everything is passed away. No curse can stay in your life except there is sin. And the Bible says that you have in him redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So please don't believe that lie in case you hear it anywhere. What you need to do, all right, is to stand in the freedom that Christ has placed you into. The way he set you free. Because what the devil tries to do once in a while is to speak through men like that to tell you you are still in trouble. And then every little temptation in your life, you say, you see, Satan is coming after me. The reason why you are not prospering is because there is marine spirit. Please, every marine spirit, better stay in the marine area. Stay inside the ocean and be eating plankton. Just stay there. You come near my house, you will go to hell early. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, why I just remember that. So you see Christians praying prayers that, you know, you're trying to break a curse that has been broken. Curses that Jesus has already broken. In fact, let me finish this, Jesus, so that you'll be warned. The man now said that what you will now do, you guess, you see, the way he's laughing, he knows where I'm going. The way he's laughing, you know he knows where I'm going. That the price of the sacrifice, any animal you want to sacrifice, bring the money here. I'm happy you shouted. It shows you understand the will of God. I was shocked. In case you are hearing this and you did not know the truth, that one is a lie. I told my sister who sent me the message. I said, my dear sister, I said, this is foolishness. Because if indeed Jesus did not redeem us from that curse, like he's saying, is he now saying it's an animal sacrifice that will redeem us? Why did he not say, let us apply the blood of Jesus? So bring the money with which you have bought Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? Why is he saying it is money with which you have bought goat or cow or sheep? When I heard plenty of nonsense. Say maybe some people went to the shrine and dedicate and made the promise on your behalf. That you are going to bring goat and chicken. And since you did not bring it, the spirits are now pursuing you around looking for the goat. That what you will now do is that you will bring the goat to church. May God deliver all of us from the spirit of poverty. That is why men preach messages like that. Now, so you see, why did I tell that story? And I like the way you reacted. You know, that shows that if you were there, you would laugh. I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very happy. The blood of bulls and goats, sorry, and the money of bulls and goats cannot take away any curse. Your redemption is in Christ Jesus. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Why did I go into that again? I'm trying to emphasize again, this is our school of prayer. What we are doing is not just praying. That's why we do more teaching, all right? Because what we are trying to do is to teach the people of God how to. So that we don't waste our time. You go at home, gather your children. Tonight, we want to break the curses that the ancestors, you know. Please. Your ancestor is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Whichever you look at it, either you look at Jesus Christ or you look at Abraham. Because concerning Jesus, it was spoken. He said, it was written, I and the children that the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and for wonders. So you are taking as one of his descendants in that regard. If you are looking at the side of Abraham, Abraham is your father, and these people did not leave any curse for you. Are you getting my point? You are a new creature. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
He said, your ancestors, those people in the village are not your ancestors. They used to be. They lost the right the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? The day you gave your life to Jesus, they lost the right to be called your ancestor. So the sins of the ancestors are not on your head. If you go around believing they are on your head, that's why they stayed there. Because ignorance of the will of God and the word of God is what keeps the people of God in bondage. That ignorance. Listen, if you accept the truth of God, you will understand that in reality you are free. Are you getting my point? Let me say it to you clearly again. If you go to any church, anywhere, you go for anywhere, somebody says that, now, we are going to break all the curses, don't pray. While everybody is praying, just stand there, unless you look, you know, it's not good to discourage the man in front, look like you're a rebel. Just stay there and be saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm free. Thank you, Jesus, I am free. Thank you, Jesus, by the power of the blood. Just be confessing what you know. Are you getting my point? If they now say, you will bring a sacrifice, I say, that one, call me a rebel, I'm not going anywhere. I am not coming. Tonight you will say there is a special sacrifice to break that curse. Don't get up. I command you not to answer anybody. According to the word of God. Listen, let me say to you again, Christians, if you want to give money, give money. Giving of money is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I believe in giving of money. If I see a man of God that has been a blessing to me, comes to town, I will go and give him something. One day I was somewhere, one man ministered, that is, he was just driving me, you know. I couldn't sit down. I looked around. Ah, I had something valuable. It was my wristwatch. I went to him, removed it. Sir, wear this. It's a genuine one. I'm not buying it. My watch is not an imitation one. I gave it to him. Giving is good. Why did I give to him? He was such a tremendous blessing to me. If a good work is going on, in fact, there's one particular good work I remember last week that they informed me about. I said, yeah, I've not submitted anything. So I have to go through my phone and try and get their contact so I can go and submit my portion. Because something good is happening. That ministry is reaching young people. They're doing a lot of good work, and I know the people who are in charge. And they told me that this is their plan, and it's a good plan. They needed an office, you understand? They have to equip the office. So they have a laser waiting. If an ordinary computer, I'm going to buy for you now. You know that kind of thing. It's a good work. I'm not tying anything to it. When I give it. He said, God will bless me back. Amen. I received that prayer, but that is not why we are doing it. I won't even remember it when I'm praying. It's a good work. The other day, my mother and I were speaking. You know, she said that sometimes, wahala of relatives. I said, what's your problem? When they pull you, you pull me. I mean, did they expect you to be working and earning money? What I'm trying to say is that good works are what? They are good. We Christians, we love to give. If 1 week passes, you have not given, you should feel bad. You understand my point? Don't look for a man who looks sad. What is it? Is it hunger? The Lord is good. What I'm trying to say, we Christians, we love to give. Amen?
Amen?
We are givers. If you are a giver, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, it's our nature. For God so loved the world that he gave. And we are believers, so we give. But we don't use giving to break any curses. Curses were broken by the blood of Jesus. That's what I'm saying. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
We don't give so that we will get. It's unnecessary. What did I say? It's unnecessary. We Christians get simply because we bother to ask. And when we ask in what? In faith. And we don't add any offering to seal it. That's unbelief. When we Christians, when we ask in faith. We know that God, our Father, loves us. You know why we don't add any money to seal it? Because it gives us some confidence in our works. And we don't want that one at all. We don't want to risk any, you know? We don't want to risk it. Say, yes, I've given us. So, once you have it in mind, it's no temptation. You are praying in the name of Jesus. Father God, you will do this for me. You know, say, I don't do it for somebody. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Don't forget my offering. In the name. It is no longer the name of Jesus. It is partly the name of offering. So we Christians, listen, if you're a child of God here, say amen.
Amen.
I say to you again, you have been set free from every curse by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You cannot break, listen, you cannot break a curse with money. You can't. Your offering does not break any curse. The real offering is the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? That sacrifice on the cross, Christ is the final offering. The only offering we as Christians can give, there are just two of them. One, that is our life. The whole life we live is an offering. So that's why we are called a living sacrifice. You're going to work is an offering. You're talking to your neighbor is an offering. You are relating with your children is an offering. The one we are learning today now is part of how to, you know, make our lives offerings. That is how to offer that sacrifice through our children. We're talking about to bless your offspring. It's an offering. The number two is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. Those are the offerings that Christians give. Every other thing we do with money, we just do it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, because it's good. Paul wrote to the Philippians. He appreciated how they gave him money to support his ministry. That's a good Christian habit. In the same manner, the same Paul told the Corinthians, let us give money to those who are suffering in Jerusalem. The same Paul wrote to Timothy, instruct them that are rich not to put their hope in this money that they have. Their hope must be in God. A manifestation of the fact that their hope is not in their money but is in God is that they are generous. They are ready to share. They give. They don't try to manipulate God. They don't try to break any curses. They can't use the price of a goat to break any curse in their life. I told that pastor preaching that message, she is whole burnt offering. When we are gathered the money, set it on fire. He won't. He won't. It's too risky. He will not set the money on fire. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, when I got that message, it made me think a lot of thoughts. Somebody will have told the pastor, say, pastor, she is a price of goods. It's a whole burnt offering. Oh, gather the money. Let us set the money on fire. But he won't agree. Why? Because he was not telling the truth. Either he was speaking totally out of ignorance, or more likely, it was just convenient to forget some things. Let's leave it like that. We won't say more than that. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, back to it. So, why did I digress into that? We must know how to pray. He said, teach us how to pray. That's what the disciples said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist, he said, they said also taught his disciples. We must know how. And now we are talking about how to bless our children. Remember, we started by saying there are different ways, all right, by which you may try to get something. Okay? And then, but in all the ways, there's what the Bible calls the way of God. And we read that from Psalm 118. He said, open to me the gate of righteousness, the gates of God. He said, this is the gate of God. The righteous go through that gate. That is, there are different methods people use in trying to attain to a particular result. But there is one that is the method of God. And Jesus said that one is usually the less commonly threaded one. That's the one that's less commonly used. So he said it's a narrow road, all right? The straight or tight, okay, he was saying, is a gate that leads to life. You understand? It's a narrow road. It's a small gate. And few, he said, are those that walk on it. And that's what we must do. We must seek, okay? He said, stand by the way road and seek the path, the good path wherein the elders walked, all right? And if you do that, you will find rest for your souls. That's Jeremiah chapter 6. So that's what we are doing. We are learning the good path. What are we looking for? We want a blessed future for our children, all right? We want our descendants to be established. We want them to have a good life. And what is the common way by which people go through it and try to enter into that? One, let us save money. All the banks in trying to collect your money now, they have this Save for Your Kids program. Have you seen it? Yeah. Actually, what they meant is that give us money to do business. Don't worry, it's not for your children. They know. Let's not fool ourselves. They know that this money is going to benefit us more than your children. They know. You are the one that may be deceived. You know, those who are they are marketing it to. The aim is not your children. The aim is the bank. The aim is their investors. The aim, all right, is the shareholders. This is just an incentive, something to use to persuade you to bring your money. Many fall for it and try to lay up their treasure for the children in the bank. Some say, no, you see, saving is not good. It will outstrip, inflation will outstrip it, the interest on it. And therefore, what do we do that can keep in tandem with inflation and maybe beat inflation? That's the stock market. So they put that laying up money there for the children. Those who have enough wisdom know, they know that you don't use cash. All right, you have to be totally ignorant to store money as cash. So people try all of these methods. And the one that I specifically, because it's very common these days, all right, which I am speaking against, then I say, okay, go and have your children abroad so that you can give them a foreign passport. You're born in America, you're born in UK, you're born in Australia, whichever country, depending on their laws, you are a citizen of that country. So if you give your children, if your child is born in that place, then you have given the child the say and opportunity in life. And let's summarize it. I said it's a fat lie. It's arrant nonsense. There is no advantage to it for Christians. Let me really say something when I say to Christians, all right, or for Christians, is that you must understand that I'm not talking to Muslims. I'm not talking about talking to those who don't believe in God. I'm talking to Christians, children of God. And every action you take in life has a meaning. It's either an action of faith or one of unbelief. You hear what I said?
Yes.
So it's not neutral. If you say, just in case, it's an action of unbelief. Do you get my point?
Yes.
It is a step of unbelief. There is nothing like a just in case. Once you put just in case, you have removed the other case. You have removed the case of faith. You have removed the case of the Spirit of God working actively in your life to bring something to pass. It's not neutral. Are you getting my point? It's very important. The amount of effort you put into something shows the amount of faith that you have in the thing. And I've been explaining that what are we supposed to do? I said that God doesn't just tell us, don't do this. He tells us what to do in its place. So what do I do? If you say that saving up for my children is not the way to go, trying to have the child in a country where I am ignorant enough to think, you understand, that in 20 years' time, when that young man wants to settle somewhere, that would be a better option for him. I'm ignorant enough to think so, all right? He said, I shouldn't do that one. What do I do in its place? And that's what we're discussing. And last time, the first day, I emphasized the fact that you just started with the issue of naming your children, because one of the things I want to start with today is to remind us again that every child that God sends into your house has a destiny. That child was not born because you love children. Wasn't born because your village people know that you are the first in line to the Igwe, and the Igwe in line should have a prince and a heir for himself also. That's not why the child was born. You get my point? The reason why God sent that child into your life is because he has a destiny. She has a destiny. There is something that he wants to accomplish, all right, through that fellow's life. That statement he made to Jeremiah does not apply to Jeremiah alone. When he said that before you were born, I knew you. He said, from your mother's womb, I had consecrated you. I had appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's not only for Jeremiah. Do you understand? Not everybody will be a prophet. But every one of your children, all right, God has spoken something specific about that person. About that child. Very important you bear that one in mind. Because it's the understanding of these things that form the way you relate with issues in life, when you have these things in your mind. So I said that, listen, let's try and be prophetic even when we are coming, when we are naming our children. And just give your, I was reading the news yesterday, or was it today? They said the pictures of Prince George released. So, I don't know how many of you saw the pictures. So what's my problem with Prince George and his pictures? It's a little boy. The boy is jumping. What's the meaning of Georgie? I don't know. Are you getting my point? No, I'll give my son George just because there's one Prince George whose pictures were released finally. You know, human beings have a crazy way of doing things. So it's an official release of Prince George's pictures. Some people go and buy magazine. Hey, have you seen Prince George? Oh, what is he wearing? What kind of jeans is that? Obviously, you don't have work to do. You're not busy. The Lord is good. All right. Well, you're giving your children names, all right? You should have something in mind that's prophetic. I'm not going to preach that message again now. Give your child a prophetic name. No matter how long the sentence is, give him the sentence first, then shorten it after. Like I told you, my last boy, his name is Victory. Victory is a short form. If I write his full name, it's a few lines. The day we were doing baby education, what is his name? I said his name. I've mentioned many names. And Victory, when we got to that Victory, I said his name is Victory over death, sickness, poverty, all the works of the devil himself, hell. They are in trouble. You understand my point? That's still the name. So, that is the name. So at the end of the day, what is the short form? Victory. That's the short form, Victory. So give your child. That's where it starts from. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. They are not framed by the things that can be seen. He said, we understand that what we see did not come out of that which was visible. So when we understand that, what we are doing, all right, is we're ensuring, you get my point, that we are aligning, you understand, our doings with what we understand. So when I know that what we become of this child, all right, is not the material thing. That's not what's deciding. It's not how much money I've given him. It's not the education I gave him. I said to you, education is a basic, it's like food. It's like food. Just like you teach a child, all right, to eat, you should teach a child how to read and write. He has to be able to communicate. That's basic in life. But those are not the things that are deciding his destiny. Say, this boy is going to be great because I gave him beans. Are you getting my point? You're not going to say that. Why do you give him beans? Why do you give him fish? Why do you give him meat? Why do you give him all those things? So that he can grow up and be what? Strong. In the same manner, he has to be intellectually strong. That's why he goes to school. It's not a guarantee of a bright destiny. We know that it's spiritual, so we handle it spiritually. One of the things you do is you make sure that when you are calling your child every day, you are calling him something that has meaning. And that day I told my son, I said, I've modified your name. And next time you knock, I say, who is that? You say, Anointed Daniel Olubenga. I said, good. You understand? He said, yes. So now when you call him now, who is that? He says, Anointed Daniel Olubenga. I said, very good, very good. You've gotten the point. That is, there is an unction upon my head. I will function in this life by the empowerment of the Almighty. That is what they need. That is more important. Give these children prophetic names. This was the name of my great grandfather. Who is your great grandfather? Who cares who your great grandfather is? Give him a name that describes what you expect out of his life. If God has given you a revelation, attach it to it. If you have a deep desire, all right, of a good thing, form it into a name and weave the name of God into it. Are you getting my point? And call that young woman by that name. You can shorten the name for practical reasons, but occasionally you should call it fool. Call it fool. A prophesy. Christians must learn to prophesy all the time. The Bible says you should pray without ceasing. Paul said, pray without stopping. That's how you pray without stopping. You form everything to a prayer. The Lord is good. Very important. We started with that. Then last time I now began to talk about this. And I want to continue on that particular one today. But let's read it again. Good scripture to read. There are two we're going to read. Let's just read that one again. I will be quicker in reading it today. Because we read it last time. Genesis chapter 27. Because of time and because we have read it before, I'll quickly just go to the areas where I want us to look at again. This is a story of how Isaac blessed Jacob, even though he intended to bless Esau. And we explained last time it was because Jacob understood the significance of that invisible substance. And that was why he went after it, and it was rightfully his, even though his father did not realize that at that point. So when he came in to collect the blessing from verse 27, so he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garment, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now notice that. These were the words. This is a summary. You must understand the way the Bible records things. I told you before that the Bible is small for the amount of information it contains. Genesis chapter 1 alone. Physicists are still fighting over it till today. What is the distance between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2? The earth is 17 billion something light years old. Nobody knows. What happened? Nobody knows. All we know is that the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Full stop. The Bible summarized the story that scientists have been fighting for centuries to understand in one verse. Bear that in mind. That's how the scriptures, all right? That's how the Bible is. You find, it said that we start talking about who revolves around who. Look, we don't know. The Bible says that God said, "Let there be light." That light, we can spend a long time decoding what kind of light it is, because we know it is not likely to have been the light from the sun, because it was a few days later before he made the stars, made the suns, and made the suns also. So we can go ahead researching for a very long time. The Bible is very concise. Everything it says is correct. The problem is that people don't understand it fully. And I tell you that the Bible didn't know. The Bible is inaccurate. You don't know it. That's the issue. When you understand it, people say that, was it Galileo? Who was it that realized that the earth is actually rotating around the sun, and the sun is not rotating around the earth? And now I want to show you that. Look, modern scientists now say that it's irrelevant who's rotating around who. Because we have found that everybody will rotate around something. The whole universe is a mass of rotation. So now, there's nothing like the earth is rotating around the sun. That's to teach secondary school physics. When you get to advanced level physics, movement is relative. So those who said that the sun was moving around the earth, they are not lying. They are as accurate as those who are now saying that the earth is the one rotating around the sun, because all of them are rotating around God. Do you get my point? So we really don't know who's rotating the water around where. Just in a rotation, just keep moving, all right? Just keep moving. The Lord is good. All of us think we are sitting down here. Scientists said in a lie that we're all cruising at maybe a few hundreds of thousands of kilometers an hour. And we think we are sitting down. If God applies brake, Oh boy, this goes far. The Lord is good. Now, why did I digress into that? That just emphasizes the fact that, you see, that's a summary, okay, of what happened there. I'm not sure these are just a few words that he used, but that's the summary of the discussion, of the prophesying. But we said something last time, let me emphasize it again. Something must have left him. Something departed from him. He knew that unction, virtue, left him and entered into whoever was there, who he could not see. And the good Lord, if you read the scriptures well, you will know that God had to blind this man. Yes. The good Lord had to ensure he could not see. Because go and check it, he's the only one that could not see. His father and his children, they all could see, even though they were old. Jacob went into Egypt as a very old man. He was seeing. At this age, he could not see. He lived for more than 20 years after now. So I think for a temporary period, God closed his eyes so that he can effectively switch Jacob for Esau. Because he will have argued. Who are you? What are you doing here? I've warned you. Let me not curse you with something you don't want to hear. All that argument, say, God, it's because he's seen, Abby. Close his eyes. Which was the same thing he did to Zechariah. So all these arguments because you can't talk. Close his mouth. Before he uses his mouth to spoil something good that we are doing. The same man, I close his man's eyes. But the man knew that something left him when he was pronouncing that blessing. And we said that, listen, this is the important thing about it we should bear in mind. And that's from verse, if you read verse 33, that was when he said, we knew that something left him. Because he said, who was it then? That's when Esau now came afterwards. Isaac, the Bible says, verse 33, trembled violently because he knew what took place was a very significant thing. So he said, who was he then that hunted game and brought to me so that I ate of all of it before you came and I blessed him? He said, yes, he shall be blessed. And then look at it further down. We read this one last time. Let's not spend too much time on it. Verse 37, as a consequence of that, he shall be blessed. He said, behold, I have made him your master. That is, what he's going to be in life is what I made him today. All his relatives I have given to him as servants. That is, the position he's going to occupy in life is what I decided when I pronounced the word of God over him today. And he said, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. His prosperity is not the money I'm giving him. It's not the stocks that I've laid up for him in the stock market. It's not the number of houses I built in the choice part of town, all right, for him. It's not the will I wrote physically for people to execute after I would have passed on. That is, because I'm a very rich man, the will that people will now execute on my behalf after I will have passed on, that is not what is sustaining him. He said, with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. I'm doing this without passing across any physical substance. I'm doing this without writing him a check. I'm not writing a physical will. I just spoke into his life, and I'm telling you, by virtue of the words that I spoke into his life, he's sustained. You understand my point? And that's what we talked last time about, the power of that blessing. That is what we Christians must bear in mind. We must understand and we must make it a habit to constantly sustain our children with everything that we believe they will need. When people are running up and down, say, I want to gather money so that I can, you know, maybe help my son get an education from one foreign university and then he'll be able to get a good job. What you should do, you don't have that money. You know, I said something last time, you have enough. That here, an amen.
Amen.
Yes, you don't need it. The day I realized Michael Jackson was poorer than me. You know, when you hear Michael Jackson, you think he's a very, very rich man. You understand? The day I realized he was poorer than me was I was paying a doctor 200 and something thousand US dollars on a monthly basis to be able to sleep. And I didn't need to pay anybody, Jack, to sleep. So when God was sharing out money, he said, Banky, you don't need that $200,000 monthly. So why don't I have it? Because I can't sleep. Are you getting my point? Many people spend a lot of money seeing psychiatrists abroad just for counseling. I have a Bible. So I have Kenneth Hagin messages. I have Bishop Edipo messages. I have all kinds of messages. I have Billy Akoni's messages. I have you as friends. Are you getting my point? I have you as friends and brethren.